Author of the Week is always sponsored by the wonderful people at ABC Books on North Glenstone, just south of Kearney. They keep the Author of the Week books in stock as best as possible, though if ever the books do sell out, they can get them. Plus, any other book for you that you want, they can order it. They can have it very, very quickly. Like I said, they're a great locally owned business, and they make it possible for us to have an Author of the Week and to interview authors. And we do keep those interviews also archived in the on-demand section at ksgf.com. Our author this week, Ian Murray, he directs the Center for Economic Freedom at the Competitive Enterprise Institute in Washington, D.C., where he is vice president for strategy and senior fellow. He's also a former civil servant in the U.K., where he helped to privatize the railroad industry. He has lived here in the state since 1997. And he has a book called The Socialist Temptation. And thank you for being with us, Ian Murray, this morning. Why is, you know, when I was a kid, I mean, I'm not that terribly old, but I remember in the early 90s as I made my way into high school and you start to learn about these different philosophies, and socialism was something that everyone sort of understood was not the way that we ever wanted to be. And it was one of the things that set the United States apart. Yet nowadays, young people, it seems like they love the idea of socialism. Why is this something that has become so prevalent and appealing to people now?
Well, I think that everything that people think about when they think about socialism these days, it appeals to some fundamental American values. We know that there are things wrong with America at the moment, and socialism does a very good job of saying that its system will be fair. That's a fundamental American value. That it will make people free. That's a fundamental American value, and that it will help protect communities. That's also a fundamental American value. And part of the problem is that socialism has done a very good job at messaging to those values, and those of us on the free market, free enterprise side of things have forgotten how to do so. So socialism is suddenly seen as an attractive alternative, and when, because it seemingly speaks to those American values, but in fact it just undermines those values, and that's a communications challenge we have.
Well, and I'd say, you know, beyond just the lack of successfully communicating some of that, they have done a good job of not only selling socialism as the answer to those values, but claiming that freedom by way of capitalism does the opposite, that capitalism causes these great unfair gaps in terms of quality of life, and that socialism is the answer to that. And one of the things that you do write about is that there are clear examples of socialism ending with, you know, bloody tyrants in charge of countries. But even when that isn't the case, you still do end up with the opposite of what they claim they want, and that is, you know, poverty and just miserable conditions, which we see a lot of in Venezuela, for example.
Oh, this is very much the case. See, I mean, one of the things that I note in The Socialist Temptation is that when a socialist state is set up, there's always talk of this is it, this is wonderful, this is the utopia, this is international brotherhood of man made flesh, and everybody's really enthusiastic about it. Then, after a few years, the contradictions of socialism come to the fore and the wheels start to fall off. That's when they start saying, no, this is the fault of wreckers and saboteurs and foreign agents or the CIA. That's actually the stage we're at in Venezuela at the moment. And then finally, it all collapses and they turn around and say, no, this isn't, that wasn't real socialism.
Right.
That was a mistake. Next time we'll get it right. And that gives socialism a sort of blank check. After every failure, they come back and say this time will be real socialism.
Or they'll do what Bernie Sanders and his supporters do, and so many other young people. They will point to examples that aren't actually socialism. We hear this all the time, and it has unfortunately been given a pass. And I think maybe some of that's just out of I don't know, ignorance perhaps, but you'll hear them, you know, they'll say, well, not like Venezuela, but like Sweden or these other countries. And it's so important, the education that you have in your book, that point out these Scandinavian economies, they're not actually socialist.
No, that's very important. That's a very important point. If you look at the history of Sweden, for example, because that's the country that that Bernie Sanders always points to, it was a democratic socialist country in the 1970s. Government ran everything, and it had become a dreary and depressing place, very much like my own native Britain it was in the 1970s. And just like the British rejected it and elected Margaret Thatcher, the Swedes elected a series of reform-minded governments who kept the big welfare state, and that's what Bernie Sanders normally points to, but completely freed up the rest of the economy and made it a real free market, vibrant free market economy again. So you have, there are lots of billionaires in Sweden. There are lots of really innovative big firms like IKEA and Spotify. But it goes beyond just corporations. School choice is very well established in Sweden. Even the teachers' unions support it. Sweden's actually a really free market, unregulated, vibrant economy, and that's absolutely not what what democratic socialists want for the American economy.
In fact, I think recently, you know, they have the annual release of the Economic Freedom Index, and generally these countries that they point to falsely as socialist countries actually are less socialist than we are. They rate higher on the Economic Freedom Index than the United States even does. Final question for our author of the week, Ian Murray, The Socialist Temptation. I suppose that knowledge is always the key, but what do we do? You have so many young people who falsely believe, and I mean not just young, but they seem to really be pushing this with the most effectiveness, believe that socialism is the answer and that that's the path we need to head towards. How do we fix that?
Well, I said, I think this is a communications challenge. This is a messaging challenge. You know, socialism has done a very good job of speaking to American values. We need to talk about free enterprise and the free market system in terms of those American values. You know, point out how free enterprise really does aid in promoting equality and freedom and promoting community, and at the same time, point to all these actual real examples of socialism and how they've undermined those values. When it comes to equality, for instance, one of the best things we can do is read our children Animal Farm by George Orwell. The socialist state that the animals set up ends up with all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. And that's always what happens in socialism. You always get a new class of bureaucrats and apparatchiks who privilege themselves and make everybody else suffer. That's not equality. So that's the sort of message that we need to be pushing through.
Our author of the week, Ian Murray, the book The Socialist Temptation. Thank you, sir, for being with us this morning.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
And of course, you know, and like I said, this is such an important book, and particularly when it comes to the misinformation that's out there regarding socialism. You can get this and past Author of the Week books at ABC Books, North Glenstone, just south of Kearney. If you missed any of the interview, we'll have it up in podcast form. He mentioned, you know, Spotify. Of course, you can subscribe there, and iTunes as well, to catch this and any of the shows that you miss in the past here on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.